Welcome back, everybody. Sources from the Sofa. It's me, Rome. We got Jason and Aaron tonight recording Sunday night. Another late pod. After hours. We're going to start calling it Sources from the Sofa After Hours. Maybe that could alter a name. But let's just kick off with the NFL. Of course, we start off with Thursday night with the Giants winning in big fashion against the Eagles. And then Broncos, Jets. Quite an interesting game where Fields got less than 50 yards passing, but I think it was like under zero. Was it like negative 10 for the game? It was like some weird stat. I didn't really check it out. I know it's all over the socials. I can't remember what the spread was for that, but that's what these overseas games. It's always the opposite. It's a never figure league, like what Sniper West said. So wasn't shocked that the Jets almost pulled it off, but they just couldn't pull off much of anything. You guys watch that?
Yeah, it was a terrible game. Spread was 7. Offensively, neither team was getting anything going. As you said, Fields' total passing stats was 9 for 17 for negative 10 yards when you factor in the sacks on there. Total Jets offense in the game was sub 100 yards.
Wow.
And they got 11 points. The Broncos, you know, Aaron's guy, Sean Payton, we've been high on that, waiting for Bo Nix to take this step, felt he was in the positive direction. A lot of travel for the Broncos. I know that they went from the Monday night game, flew to Philly for that game, then they went straight to London after this. So they got 3 wins in a row, which was impressive, and that's, you know, what you want on this trip. It puts the Broncos, you know, I wouldn't say driver's seat, but they're sitting kind of in the top of the AFC West right now. But offensively, man, they could not get anything going. The one touchdown in the game was Bo Nix in the first half. And then, you know, you never saw anything to any of the receivers, really. Like Cortland Sutton had one catch, I think, Aaron, was
That's
all
weird.
He got in the game.
They haven't really gotten going all year on here.
No, Evan Ingram, the tight end, was the biggest receiver in that game. Never felt like the offense was clicking at all. There was even decisions of, you know, Payton basically said this is a field position game. Offensively, the Jets were not going to do anything. So they're, hey, we'll just punt to them and make them try to beat us. But, man, it was bad. And you're right. These overseas games, we've seen some exceptions. But I think the overall rule of the game, if we're looking reflectively on us picking Denver with this 7-point spread, is like, man, you just don't know who's going to show up in the different time difference and what's going to happen in these games, because it tends to be some of the sloppier football, almost like the Thursday night games tend to be a lot of times.
I totally forgot it was 7 points. I would have felt okay if it was 3, if I lost it on 3, but I can't believe I went with it and took the Broncos. That was wild.
Well, honestly, there's no reason to take the Jets.
yeah, I think what happened.
I mean, realistically, the Jets, like, you know, negative 10 yards passing if you add in the
That's
sacks,
wild, dude.
9 sacks. I mean, I just looked at the out yardage done by almost like 170 yards. I mean, there's no reason the Broncos still shouldn't have won by double figures. I mean, the concern the whole time we talked about, Jason and I, was basically the travel. You mentioned they go from Philly, then they go to London. Obviously, they left their offense here in the States because, I mean, the Jets had been giving up 30 points every game this year. And yeah, it felt like maybe the Broncos could get it. You know, Jason mentioned they got the touchdown in the first quarter. It was 10-6 at the end of the first quarter. So after that, nobody got any points. I mean, they got a safety on a holding call the Jets did on the end zone.
I think that's when I woke up, is when I saw the little text that they got a safety. I'm like,
I mean,
what?
The Jets had number of opportunities to win this game because it was a field position game.
They should have.
I mean, they had at least probably 2 or 3 possessions that started at near midfield. But they can never get a first down or get a sack, would push them back. Broncos just never could get anything going. Looked like they might get a touchdown, then go for 2, and then win by 7 and get a push. But, yeah, I mean, the Jets, Justin Fields has looked terrible after that week 1 game in which he looked good against the Steelers. But long hill decline for the Jets, definitely. And for the Broncos, yeah, I mean, you get 3 wins in a row. Got some favorable matchups, but maybe they got the Giants at home. Maybe that's going to be a little tougher than we thought, the way the Giants have been playing 2 of the last 3 weeks. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, Broncos, you got to think that they're pretty happy leaving London with the win, a game that they shouldn't have won. And then Jets hating themselves because they could have stole one, at least to get Glenn's first victory of the year. and that opportunity is lost, and things just don't look good for the New York Football Jets.
What's funny with the Jets, one thing here, Rome, they've been in three ball games this year.
Yeah.
Against the Steelers, the Bucks, and the Broncos. All those teams have great winning records, had no business being in those games, and then like the Cowboys just annihilate them, and then we saw what happened with the Cowboys today. So, yeah. The Jets, when you think they're going to do good, just do the opposite, and then when you think they're going to get blown out, I guess take them. That's what I've learned 6 weeks in with them.
Yeah. Let's do how do you guys want to break this down? Like biggest wins, biggest losses, biggest disappointments first?
Sure. What do you want to go with? Biggest win?
Aaron, you pick.
Yeah, why not? Jason said biggest wins.
Let's do biggest win. All right. So week six, almost everything's in the books. We do have the doubleheader tomorrow. Falcons, Bills, and Commanders, Bears. Pretty sure Jason's be glued to the sea or to a bar stool somewhere for the full 2.5-3 hours there. Biggest win. You guys got any nominees? We'll later do our ass whipping of the week as well. We have to nominate a few teams for that one because that's been our weekly award. But yeah, biggest win. What comes top of mind?
There's a couple in here. I don't know if it's biggest win, but I'll say overall, the Carolina Panthers beating the Cowboys.
Dude.
Getting to 3-3 on the year. They're undefeated at home. You know, we've talked for weeks now. We still don't understand that 30-0 win versus the Falcons. It's a puzzle. But they beat the Dolphins. They beat the Cowboys. Not great teams, but getting to 3-3. And Rico Dowdle, just talking about fantasy implications for this guy. Maybe in line to take Chuba Hubbard's starting job here at the running back position. Versus his former team, he was talking a lot of mess going against the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and he balled out in this. Had 30 carries for 183 yards. Was super active, you know, offensively. The Cowboys have looked, the defense is terrible. The offenses look great, but I think this is a big win for the Panthers. As you're looking, hey, was this going to be the bottom five teams in the league? They're sitting at 500 right now. They're in a competitive division where you got the Buccaneers who are looking good. The Falcons, we're expecting them to wake up one day. But this is competitive for the Panthers. And there's been a lot of criticism with the ownership there and how like hands on and not really finding a direction. But they got a lot of talented players on that team. And I think specifically, McMillan, their first round pick out of Arizona. He had two touchdowns in this game, Aaron. And he definitely had
at least one.
Yeah, at least one.
Yeah. So, but he had his first, touchdown. And to me, that was a big win. So, I'd nominate the Panthers.
He did get two, yeah.
Okay. I thought he did. So, yeah, I'd nominate the Panthers because big win because gets them to 500. And, maybe they're looking at the seventh seed. Unlikely, but, I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there, Rob. You put it at 500. They got a last place schedule.
This guy's jumping on quick.
I'm not jumping on anything, Rob.
No.
You're 3-3, and they're playing the Jets next week. All right. So
I'm just kind of shocked because I think I was the only one that was like somewhat positive on the Panthers this year, and then after like the first few weeks, I'm like, dude, what a bad freezing cold take, right? And then I text you guys. I'm like, I think they mentioned it on the on the cast, like. Young and this team, they either get their ass kicked or Young, he's only had 8 victories in the NFL. 7 of them have been come from behind. Now make that 8 out of 9. That's a lot of comeback from behind victories. Winning drives. They're all winning drives. He's either getting beat down or producing winning drives, and he showed out again. It was pretty exciting. You mentioned their running back was cut from the Cowboys, undrafted. First time that some guys amassed over 200 yards back-to-back games on drafters since like 1970. He's looking pretty nice. You're right. I don't think he's going to relinquish that starting job anymore. They're really pounding the shit out of him. Cowboys, their offense still looks great. Dak Prescott and then George Pickens, my guy, George Pickens, he's been like lights out, arguably like what top in almost every statistical category so far this season. But yeah, big win. I liked it.
Yeah, I'm saying, Rome, that the ceiling for them is the seventh seed right now, and they go through.
It'll be crazy.
But I mean, But hey, they get, you know, you get to 6-7 wins. We start talking about it. It'll be those on the bubble teams potentially. You know, they got the Jets. They got two games against the Saints left. You know, who knows what the health of the 49ers at this point. You know, anything could happen for them. You're 3-3 in October. You know, I think that's compared to the last 5 years of Carolina Panthers football, man. I think, you know, maybe they're feeling themselves a little bit.
Pretty. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina. I mean, look, they won three games. They won three. They won 3-0 at home. I mean, the Atlanta one's an impressive win, but, you know, Miami's a bad team. You mentioned Dallas is a bad team. You know, based off this, I'm taking the Jets next week because that's just how this league works. The Jets are going to get the first win. Yeah. That's just you got to go that way, right? Then to get Buffalo, Green Bay, New Orleans. I got to figure Atlanta when they play them again at home is going to be ready for them. So yeah, I got to see Carolina be consistent and win on the road. But as you guys mentioned, at home 3-0, they're playing well there. Got to give it up to them. They've been good at home.
I think their over under was like 5.5 or something like that. Halfway home, that was a big win. Since we're talking about that division, I think the Bucs win over the 49ers was really big. I know the Niners are down and out. A lot of guys injured. The first half seemed pretty good. I didn't catch as much as the second half because I was trying to catch the rest of the games going on in the morning. Were you guys impressed by the Bucs win and that, or you just saw like, okay, the Niners finally threw out like a dud because they're out with like a lot of guys, Warner out for the season as well.
Definitely impressive win. I think continued. We were high in the Bucs at the start of the season, so I don't think there was, you know, much of a question on where they'd be. The Niners, yeah, continuing to get hurt. 4-2 right now for the 49ers. Losing Warner. Bosa's out for the season too, right, Aaron? So,
yes.
You know, you got some key defensive pieces. You haven't been able to keep a lot of these offensive pieces. I don't know when Ayuk's coming back. I mean, you have some guys step up here. Rome was talking pre-pod. You were talking about Bourne, right? That was your guy you added in fantasy or something.
I picked him up, dude. Like, once I knew everyone was out, I'm like, dude, like, he showed out the last game. I figured it's got to repeat itself. Mac Jones likes him. So, yeah, he had a good game.
I was talking with one of my Niner friends. I'm sure Rome's got a bunch of them up there in the Bay Area, too. For the Niners, I think Shanahan's always going to keep them competitive enough to probably be in the playoffs. And we've talked throughout the season. They have one of the easiest schedules in the league. So could they still make the playoffs? Probably. But, you know, what's it going to be when they get to the playoffs, when they're missing key defensive pieces and some of these health concerns around the overall team? Still a impressive win by the Bucs. The Niners, I think you just got a concern overall. Like, what are they getting for? Now, on the same side, the Bucs, I don't know if it's major injury concerns, but Godwin was back out. And then they had their rookie wide receiver was also injured. I think maybe hamstring and stuff throughout this game. And so, you know, injuries starting to pile up, and you start get to this point of the season where, you know, the healthiest teams kind of always ended up, you know, making it deep runs in the playoffs and stuff. And where do some of these health concerns lie? But the Buccaneers, 5-1, sitting nice at the top of the AFC, or the NFC South. I think it's a pretty impressive win. I think you had that one and then the Seattle Jags game as far as like top. Ooh, like,
that was so good.
Know. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big win for the Bucs. But yeah, I think the most impressive win of the weekend is Seattle going cross country into Jacksonville and picking up a nice win there. They're coming off that home loss. I mean, this is now 9 straight road wins for Seattle dating back to last year. You know, we talk about, you know, defense traveling, but for Seattle, just hasn't been at home. I mean, they gave up 38 points to Tampa the week before. Jacksonville, kind of similar scheme. But Seattle, defensive line, they just dominated that game. I think they got 6 sacks on Trevor Lawrence, stopped the run game, and got some big plays there in the offense. Saw that Cooper finally got back in the end zone. So that, for me, I think the biggest win of the weekend was for Seattle. But going back to Tampa Bay, getting to 5-1 with the injuries they got, we know Evans will be back. The rookies, Jason mentioned, wide receiver, a hamstring. So they got a lot of wide receivers out with leg injuries. But if they can get healthy, and now that they're starting to separate in that division than the South, especially if Atlanta loses on Monday night, that gives them at least a 2-game lead over Carolina. I don't think Carolina's on Tampa Bay's level right now. And Atlanta would be, what, 3 games back, and they have the tiebreaker over them after beating them already, and the Saints are bad. So, I mean, Tampa's sitting pretty. I mean, I thought Tampa could make a deep run, so we'll see what happens there.
Dude, Falcons have a big game tomorrow, man, against the Bills. They have to win. Otherwise, they're in a big hole. Who saw the Panthers being 3-3 right now? pretty wild. Let's transition to biggest losses.
Honestly, it might be the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah? How so?
I mean, they had a chance to get to, what, 3-2-1?
Yeah.
And Jason's already talking about Carolina's at 7th spot. I mean,
I love that. I think that might make a clip.
You're overstating what I said about the 7th. I said, hey, you're trying to compete for the 7th spot. You know, you need 7 wins to compete for the 7th spot in this league.
I was even surprised you even mentioned it, though.
You gotta have a goal and target for these teams. You're talking about how many teams are like 1-5 right now. You're gonna have a bunch of these teams mailing it in. You got Dolphins 1-5, Browns 1-5, Saints 1-5, Jets 0-6.
I think Titans
1-5. I mean, you're lower heavy on this, man. You know, you get to 7 wins, you know, you're gonna be sitting pretty. Yeah, I agree with Aaron, probably the Cowboys, because I think the rest of the losses were just a bunch of bad teams losing today, where I don't think it's as consequential. If you went down the lineup, just kind of going through, Jets losing didn't matter. Cardinals, you know, it was a close game,
closer than I thought.
Yeah, I thought it would be, but you have your guy Kyle Murphy out, Rome. So, you know, we thought the Colts would win, but they kept it close.
They actually played better. You know, that's one game I was kind of surprised I went with the Colts on the points on this one. They had a devastating loss, last week, and then they had some injuries. They're down to, like, their 4th running back. He did pretty well today. Who's their backup quarterback again? Brissett?
Jacoby Brissett.
Did pretty well, dude. Almost brought him back for a W. That was a shocker. But good win, though, by the Colts against a really resilient Cardinals team, I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, but again, puts the Cardinals at 2-4. They're looking at the bottom of the NFC West. The Dolphins losing. You know, there was a predictable loss there. Same with the Saints. Same with the Browns. Ravens, you know, just as hurt as they are. Yeah, they're 1-5 too. We didn't even list them as the 1-5 teams for how many bad teams there are. So, I think overall it's just like a really bunch of bad teams getting beaten, whether it's injuries or just they weren't going to be good to begin with. So I think the Cowboys probably hurting the most given, you know, kind of where they're going to be fighting with the Commanders and the Eagles in the NFC East.
Big losses. I got to put the Dolphins in there, man. They had a chance to win this game, and the Chargers did not look good. Again, Justin Herbert, not a great game. I'm at to the point, at least for fantasy, do I drop Herbert or Bo Nix and pick up Danny Dimes? Like, I'm like entertaining anything because I'm like barely scraping by for wins in my league.
Again, I'm gonna ask Rome, who are these people playing that's even an option to add at this point? Like, you have all of these guys.
It's a 10-league team. There's no wide receivers, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, Herbert still put up better numbers than Danny Dimes today. I mean, 264 and 2 touchdowns is not bad from your quarterback, Rome.
It's not bad, dude. I just need more because I got no wide receivers. So you guys mentioned Vidal on the pod last week about, like, you know, waiver pickups. I'm already stocked on running backs, but he came out and played today, man. Great game, 124 yards. That was a great call from you guys. Like, we hardly ever talk about fantasy, but you guys mentioned that. And I was like, keep an eye on that one all day.
Well, it was an interesting, I think, comparison on who to pick up, because you had two running backs going into the fantasy waiver route between Hassan Haskins and Vidal. Many projected Haskins to be the lead character. Fantasy websites projected him maybe slightly ahead to get the points on that. So I think a lot of people, if you play in a fab league, you know, you put a bunch of money in to get Haskins and you're going to get the starting running back. Vidal turns out to be the one that gets the primary amount of carries. And you mentioned, 124 yards. So if he's the running back till Hampton gets back. But yeah, an interesting thing. I don't know if you think you're stacked in running backs, but you can never have too many running backs in this league considering how many get hurt.
You're right. I thought this was a big loss, though. Dolphins had a chance to win that. Came really big in the fourth quarter. And then I'm not sure if you guys caught the post game with Tua kind of throwing some of his teammates underneath the bus. Didn't seem like it was a good press conference, but from what I remember, Tua doesn't have great press conferences. He's always stepping over his words and saying a little too much. And it kind of seems like he just has no presence in that locker. 3 interceptions anyways. I don't know what to make of it. But I think the Dolphins are at least being competitive where I don't see McDaniels getting fired anytime soon. Not yet.
Maybe not in season or in the close thing, but he's probably gone at the end of the season, given where everything's
trending.
Only
was my homie bet.
Well, I mean, Tua, you had the interceptions. One of them wasn't his fault. It was Waddle's. And there's some other stuff. Achan, I think, was the biggest portion in that game. He had a huge game, 128 yards, big touchdown run, had two touchdowns overall. I think he was the one keeping it in the game. So I think if you look at the McDaniel system, and he comes from that Shanahan tree, it's been a question about the running game overall throughout his tenure, what's he's got, because Shanahan, you know, whether it was his dad or even Kyle's offense, like, you have that zone running, you know, that zone running style where you could basically, you know, put any running back in there, and that really opens up things downfield. And we spent so much time being in love with the, you know, the high flying pass aspect of McDaniel early on, the Tyreek and Waddle and things were at, but having the running back aspect, and when Achane came in, that really added a different element to them. If the Dolphins are going to be competitive, I think that's where they need to be leaning to, is, you know, what can they get out of Achane, and how does that open up different things that, you know, for Waddle, and,
yeah,
you know, whether you're getting Darren Waller some reps, which he's gotten too.
Yeah. Right, so I mean, going back, I mean, Miami, Achane is great, but, you know, they don't have a power running back. They don't run Achane really in between the tackles. I mean, if you look at his two TD runs, it's a counter outside and basically like a toss outside that he gets a touchdown on. So they don't have that, was it Raheem? What was it? Mustard or whatever they
Mostert.
Had? Mustard. Yeah.
Mustard.
That guy with like 18 TDs that one year, I think the first year when he was with the Dolphins, and then just had a kind of back and forth knee injuries the next 2 years, and then they cut him. You know, Darren Waller, I mean, he's come back from the dead. I mean, basically when he's healthy, he can still ball. And, you know, the Shanahan tree, they love tight ends. You saw what Kittle's done there in San Francisco. So you got Darren Waller. I mean, losing Tyreek hurts. But yeah, Miami, they got a tough schedule. I mean, I agree the coach is going to be gone at the end of the year. Just that's just the business, how it goes. You don't make the playoffs, you're regressing as a team and organization. Tua basically calling out the players. So, I mean, that's on the coach and on the players, right? I mean, but I guess it's only players only meeting. So I guess maybe the coaches
aren't
involved.
That's even worse. Yeah, it's even worse.
But, you know,
no one cares.
Yeah, it seems right now that Miami's going to be hitting the reset button at the end of the year.
Let's see. There was a few nail biters. We already talked about the Colts. Patriots kept that really close, really escaped New Orleans with the victory. Drake May, though, he's been clutch. He led the team in rushing, only 28 carries, man, or 28 yards. Pretty wild. Three touchdowns, though. Spencer Rattler, I did catch at least the first half, at least parts of the first quarter, parts of the second quarter. I was like changing up. Spencer Rattler has not looked terrible. Looks pretty decent, actually, even though they're losing. And so it kind of some promise there, at least, with what they're building. That's all I got in that game, though. Let's see. Go ahead.
I mean, May looked great. I think overall, still what they're doing in the running game, I don't think they have found exactly who they're going for. They really want to get Stevenson the ball. But I mean, he had 13 carries for 18 yards.
Yeah, 1.4 yards a carry, man. And he fumbles too much.
That's trash.
Yeah, and Travion Henderson, you know, I think that's what a lot of people, especially in fantasy circles, thought, hey, this is going to be the guy to take over, you know, the predominant running game. And, you know, I don't know. He's definitely not going to be Derrick Henry, given he's a lot smaller in stature. But, you know, taking him in the early second round from Ohio State, that was pretty much seen as, hey, this is going to be the guy for Vrabel. They've kind of eased him into it a bit, and you're still getting Stevenson these carries. But I know May look good, 100%, but I still think they're going to need more out of the running game, you know, to continue to go up. But 4-2, the Patriots still sitting really good in the AFC East.
Yeah, I mean, to Jason's point, yeah, they're going to need more out of the running game. I think under Josh McDaniels, I think they're kind of hesitant to kind of get the rookie involved and get him, you know, all the carries. Stevenson's been there a few years, but Drake May's developments look good. I mean, this game should have probably not even been this close. I mean, they wiped out a couple touchdowns that the Patriots got for some phony, like, whistles that, flags that I don't even know what they were calling. So
Bill Simmons is going crazy on X over it.
Yeah, there were some games. There were plays. I'm like, wait, what'd they call? They literally threw a flag like 5 minutes after a play was over. I don't, literally, I don't know what they were doing. Some of the referees in this game, even the announcers were like, Gene, like, what's going on here? And he's like, I don't know, guys. I do not know. But yeah, I mean, Patriots 4-2, looking good. Got that one over Buffalo. If Buffalo loses this weekend, then the Patriots will be in first place in that division. So we'll see. I mean, Patriots, Rome, I think they were kind of your surprise team to get in the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
Given where the AFC's at, I mean, Jason mentioned you got, you know, Browns 1-5, 0-6 Jets, 1-5 Ravens. Patriots sitting pretty to make the playoffs right now.
Patriots looking really nice. I'm going to transition over to some teams that got the victory, but kind of disappointing with like how it went about. Packers, I was not really digging the performance today. They still came out like a little flat. And I really don't know what's wrong. Although they got the running game going at times, the defense was swarming Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco looked decent, I guess, in relief, but they had him throw, what, 40-something times. What do you think about your team, Aaron?
That's a good one for the Packers. I mean, coming off the bye, I mean, the Bengals, you know, have struggled, but they didn't turn the ball over. I mean, that was the key. Joe Flacco, I don't believe, had any turnovers.
I fucking knew the 14 points is too much, man. And you teased me like, you know, you want to take it. I should have taken it. I fucking knew it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Bengals are kind of like one of those teams like where you take them, they get beat by 30. And then when you don't, they only lose by 10. That's basically what they are. So, I mean, the Bengals, Packers were up basically 10 points, 14 points most of that game. Bengals did a good job of kind of coming back in it. But, I mean, if you're the Packers, you're, what, 3-1-1. Lions lost. Vikings on a bye. We'll see what happens with the Bears. And Bengals, I mean, Packers have looked good at home. That's all three of their wins have been at home this year. So, if you can defend home field and play well there and then win, you know, half your road games, then you got 12 victories right there. So, I think the Packers are where they want to be.
Nice.
It's tough to talk bad about them since they are technically first place in the NFC North with a half game ahead of the 4-2 Lions. But yeah, I guess after 2 weeks we were kind of crowning them, you know, is probably the best team in football where they looked offensively and defensively. Bad loss to the Browns, the tie, which was just a crazy game. And then you expected a little more versus the Bengals team since they had just been so bad since Burrow went off. You know, you get the Cardinals next week in Arizona, you know, depending on whether Kyler plays or not, you know, that's still a winnable game for them. So it still looks good for the Packers. I think even though it wasn't probably the best showy win and they haven't been as impressive after a good start to the season, I think they're still they want to be, but it'll get interesting here for the Packers. Their schedule is they kind of a hard game and an easy game kind of rotation over the next like couple weeks.
Seesaw.
So, you know, yeah, because Cardinals, but then you're playing their Steelers, Rome. Then they play the Panthers, and then they play the Eagles, and then they play the Giants, and then they're starting the division rotation against the Vikings, Lions, Bears. So, you know, you get a little bit. We'll start to separate out. But as Aaron talked about, week to week with these leagues, you don't know. The Cardinals, those are one of those teams we don't know what to think about week to week, so they could surprise us in the desert next week and, you know, really challenge the Packers.
100%. I will talk about one game that I was really happy with.
The Steelers?
And it's my 4-1 Steelers. They look great. They look phenomenal. I did pick up their defense to take place for Detroit this week. I was not confident in Detroit's defense going against Mahomes. Just, you know, it was in KC. Kind of want to hedge that bet a little bit. Packers, they gave Dylan Gabriel lots of trouble. Metcalf looked nice. They got the run game going. A little bit more this week as well. Rodgers not pressing too much. Still two TDs, hovering around that 210 to 230 range every single week. Looking really solid. Still bringing pieces together on defense and getting the run game, as I mentioned. Still got to figure out some things in the passing game, but I noticed the Browns. The Browns have a really good defense. But I was really happy with today's game. It brought me a lot of joy this morning.
No, they look good. I think Rodgers has been, you know, consistent with them. The running game, Warren is kind of taking the lead, but they get different looks with Gainwell, Caleb Johnson out of the backfield. DK has been, you know, big catches for Rodgers, and they've seemed to grow a connection. Gainwell in the passing game, I think, has been a good outlet for Rodgers, as he likes to, you know, have those, some of those dump off passes. Yeah, the Browns have typically had, even though they've been bad for a little while, they've typically had a good defense. The Steelers defense, I think that's the biggest thing we question. By the first two games of this season, where they that game against the Jets, and then their only loss of the season in week two,
it was bad.
It wasn't great, but I think they've, you know, they haven't played the greatest of teams, but, you know, the Patriots, not a terrible team. They pretty much dominated a little bit there. The Vikings, you know, overseas game, and they were playing a backup quarterback, but they locked up now versus the Browns. So they've done well against an albeit not world beater offenses the past couple of weeks, but I think they're starting to tighten things up and figure out what they need to be with their division basically taking a tank backwards, with the Ravens almost season coming to an end here at the point. The Bengals, no hope. The Browns are bad. Like, they got a good leg up here. They're going to play the Bengals here on Thursday night. You know, you're getting another Flacco start. Probably not looking great. Should be a winnable game for them. Then they get the kind of extended week going into that Packer game at home to a Sunday night showcase. You know, they get kind of the 10-day preparation. It's looking good for your Steelers, Rome. I'm not going to lie. You know, Tomlin, you know, Aaron and I have been Tomlin guys for a long time, ever since the days of the old radio show. That's how Tomlin's been doing it. He went all in on this Rodgers bet this year on, you know, finally being the guy, because – all those questions about, is Tomlin really the guy? So this was kind of the prove it year of what you can do. The stars might be aligning for your Steelers to make a little bit of a run here. I'm not saying they're Super Bowl worthy yet.
Oh, but, I might place a bet tomorrow. Okay. Dark horse Super Bowl picks. I don't know.
I mean,
they're gonna based off what I'm hearing from Rome. I'm curious what's more likely to happen: Steelers to the Super Bowl or the Panthers to the seventh seed in the NFC. I mean, that's the real bet right there, I think.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
I don't know. Both probably a little bit of a long shot.
So early, but I think Steelers have a closer shot making it to the Super Bowl than Panthers to the seventh seed.
AFC's tough. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers, I mean, yeah, you got to be happy for Battle Rome, but this is kind of where Pittsburgh and Tomlin have been the last 6 years. You get high on them, and they drop a game.
Yeah, so it's depressing, yeah.
Is Cincinnati, I mean, let's just be honest, Cincinnati's probably the play on Thursday night. They're probably maybe 3-4 point underdog, and, you know, Joe Flacco has always had good games against the Steelers going back to his Raven days. So we'll see, but I do like where the Steelers are at. They're getting healthy on defense.
I don't like
them
playing Thursday night. Not a big fan of the game.
Yeah, I don't like the short turnaround, but yeah.
I really got a good feeling of where Aaron's going to be betting a lot next week. He's going to go into next week be like, if it makes sense, it doesn't make sense. I'm going the opposite.
It seems to, because, I mean, this week for us, what made sense just did not look good. So I might be a little, have to go the opposite way. Got to go reevaluate the tape.
I was going to say, you're going to go full George Costanza and, you know, whatever I said had to be wrong, and I'm just going to do the opposite.
Do you guys remember last year when we started eliminating teams? Just saying, like, their season was over. I think we started, like, in week 4, week 5.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did.
There's a lot of teams we could do that to right now.
All right, let's do that right now, then.
I got at least one hand, maybe more.
All right, let's knock out the teams that just had got no chance, and they are done for the season after week 6. Who should we put in there?
We got to put the Jets.
The number one pick, the Jets. Done. Who's the second pick overall?
Titans?
Yeah, they're done.
They're done.
I'm just going to run down the list we got here. You got the Browns.
It's done? Done?
Yeah, the Browns are done. I mean, they basically got two rookie quarterbacks on the top of their depth chart. They've given up.
Okay, Browns done. How about the Ravens?
We'll see. They get Lamar back. They get a bye week and Lamar back, so I'm not going to bury him yet. I'm not going to bury him yet.
The Taco Saints. Bell just came back up.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Saints.
Dolphins.
I'll say the Raiders. The Raiders aren't going to make the playoffs in the AFC.
Saints, Dolphins, Raiders.
Yeah,
Raiders. Big win today.
He just said the Raiders.
Yeah.
Done.
Any other candidates? We're going to knock out 6 teams right now in week 6.
What? I don't know, Aaron. It's probably too early to declare the Bengals done.
I'm waiting till Thursday. They lose that game, then I can officially declare them done.
Okay.
We went too early last year, and then we had to reevaluate
Joe Burrow was there. He's not coming back till what, week 14, maybe? Let me put it
is
this
that
way.
The same?
Well, he's supposed to be out, what, 3 months, right?
Yeah.
So
it's week 14. Yeah, it should be the second week of December.
Okay. I don't know if that's week 14 or not, but that's towards the end.
Sounds like it.
I mean, if the Bengals beat the Steelers, then there's life. If not, I think I might feel better about the Ravens than the Bengals, and they're 1-5. So we'll see.
Okay. Lots of teams still alive, though.
That's what, six teams?
That's six teams. We got Jets, Titans, Browns, Saints, Dolphins, and Raiders officially done on the pod.
Yeah. I mean, those teams are done. I guess life support, if you want to go there, you throw the Bengals, you throw the Ravens, and you throw the Cowboys on that list as well.
Wait, Bengals, Ravens, Cowboys?
Yeah.
Any other nominations for life support? Texans? No?
I don't think they're quite there yet.
Okay.
I think you got a lot of division games still with that team. You got to think, you know, where you 4-2 Jags, you know, these start having division games are going to count.
Cardinals?
Yeah, throw them on there.
We'll leave the NFC North alone for now.
No, there's no one life support there. Best division in football.
It's good. You know, I like the NFC West, man. Like, everybody's talented. Even the Cardinals at 2-4, they're 4 straight losses, but they should have won some of those. It's tough.
With 4 straight losses by probably what, a grand total of less than 10 points?
Yeah, it's crazy.
They're a +3 in point differential at 2-4.
That's so shitty.
The Texans are +47 at 2-3.
Well, it's off in that last game.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, the last two games, I think there's, what, 73-10?
Yeah.
Outscored their opponents.
I guess the losses were pretty close. All right, so we'll see what Monday night brings then. Got some two good games.
So officially, we've only declared 6 teams done.
6 dead, 4 on life support. So that gives us 10, a third of the league.
Brilliant. Giants, you're not putting on life support, Aaron?
I like the Giants.
Yeah, they're on life support. What are they, 2-4? Absolutely. What are they, 2-4?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on life support. Brian Dable and his job's on life support too. So yeah.
I just feel because like we got like the Bash Brothers with Scataboo and Jackson Dart.
I like them.
New York wins. Oh, everyone likes them, man. It's just trending all over X. But man, like the best things on X right now are just like Scataboo. Like I don't know his shelf life in the NFL, man.
Yeah.
Did you see like a clip where it's like a Sopranos clip, and they got the main guy talking to like his dad in the hospital, and his dad doesn't recognize him, and he's saying like that's actually Dable and Scataboo. They're just gonna run up to the ground after like 6 years.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
these
guys
not know what team he played for in 10 years. Guy's a beast. This is a frat boys. Do they have like a good frat boy? It's probably
it's 100.
Probably like the only Gen X young guys that are like have like an aura, or at least that's what everyone thinks they got.
Well, I mean, that's what's gonna keep them relevant. Or think of this, you know, even if they're not winning games, like we like these guys, man.
Yeah,
there's a swagger about them, you know.
Did you see their headbutt at the end of the game Thursday?
Yes, they were headbutting. It was like almost like two like dogs going at it. Yeah,
it's like little goat headbutts. They did like their little handshake, and they just gave each other eye. I'm like, dude, what kind of gay shit's going on? But it was.
They're winning football games, but we'll see. They got at Denver this week or next week coming up here. So, and then at Philadelphia, who's going to want revenge. So,
who's on bye weeks for week 7?
Buffalo and somebody else, right? Buffalo and the Ravens.
Nice. All right. We used to do this back in the day when we first started. Recap college and pro football all in one day. We're going to do that today. We've been doing it separately lately because we do Aaron's college football games of the week on Wednesdays, but it's top of mind. Let's get it out. Let's get it over with. Lots of changeover. I think it was like, what, 6 top ranked teams went down over the weekend, and then we did pretty well in our Westgate Super Contest as well. Alabama, Aaron, you called it. They were on upset alert. Missouri almost pulled it off, and they think they should have. Just fell a little short. Terrible interception at the end of the game for Alabama to ice it. But Missouri, man, they were pretty phenomenal. That was a lucky one that Alabama walked away with 27-24. I got to say...
I was just going to say, Rome, I think you're just glossing over biggest story right now. I mean, you're talking about Alabama. James Franklin getting fired.
Oh, that's right.
I don't think anything's bigger than Penn State right now. There's a lot of stuff that happened this weekend we can talk through. But in context...
Surprised?
Well... Not surprised, but I want to take you back.
I'm not surprised.
Well, 15 days ago, this team was ranked number 3 in the nation, national title contender, you know, had a massive game. They were leading a top 10 team by a touchdown in overtime in front of 110,000 people. And now they're 3-3 and they fired their head coach. Like, the turn that took for Penn State is
quick.
Just insane. You know, Franklin lost the team. I mean, the loss to Oregon was one thing. You know, they were up 24-17 in that game, like I said, in overtime. But the UCLA loss, followed by this Northwestern loss this last week, it just, you know, just crazy how quick it was. We were talking after that Oregon loss. I think you brought it up to me, and I'm like, there's no way they fired this guy. And there was a tweet out there. It was basically what I said, like, this guy's job is basically win 10 games a year and be the 10th to 12th team in the country. And you keep your job. That's where it's at. And so you win 10 games, you're probably not getting fired. And that's kind of Penn State can be the, you know, second to fourth team in the Big Ten, usually sitting at the number 3 team in the Big Ten. But man, you know, the wheels fell off and they fell off bad. And for a $50 million buyout to get rid of James Franklin, where they're at right now, just crazy where college football is at. I only saw a couple tweets on this too, but the rumor was Adidas played a big part of this too. I don't know if that's
why,
you know, substantiated. I don't know. I mean, they got the money to do, but they're falling fast and maybe it's a premier brand for them, but Penn State wanted to move and they expected this team to be a national title contender. I think all of us picked them to go to the college football playoff.
Yeah.
They were supposed to contend. I'm pretty sure
their year.
I think I picked him to go to the national championship game, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, that's an all-time bad take for me. But biggest story of the week, in my opinion, because, you know, for everything that went south, and there was a lot of great games and some big upsets. But, man, that one just – it turned quick in the matter of a little over 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about, you know, over the last couple weeks, you know, Mike Gundy, he got canned. Sam Pittman in Arkansas. I mean, last week we basically put Billy Napier on the hot seat. James Franklin, we did not expect him to lose to UCLA. I mean, they lost two games in context as 3 touchdown or more favorites. I mean, Northwestern's not a good football team. UCLA, well, maybe UCLA's found something because they've looked good these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think the Northwestern was like a bigger shock. UCLA had another good
plus,
game, and LA
plus
different.
They lose the quarterback Outler for the season. He's out of a leg injury. So, I mean, and Penn State made a lot of changes. I mean, James Franklin, I saw a stat, I think since the year 2021 or 2020, he's like the 4th winningest coach in college football behind basically Kirby Smart, Ryan Day, Dan Lanning, and then there's James Franklin. So to go from, you know, semifinal getting beat by Notre Dame in a close game to basically 3-0, like Jason said, number 3 ranked team, up in overtime at home in a wideout, to literally, you're wide out, you're done. Your name's, they whited your name out, you're done, you're out. You're out of a job at Penn State. It's insane. It definitely is insane. It's going to be interesting to see who they get to fill the void. I mean, I gave you a candidate last week, Rome, that I think it should be their top target.
Freeman?
I don't see him leaving Notre Dame, but Marcus Freeman would be the first call I make. I think he's the top guy. If you're going to make a big splash hire, your guy Matt Rhule at Nebraska is being mentioned for the role.
Oh man!
So we'll see. We'll see what Penn State does, but you know, college football's now. We're paying money. We're paying big money. If we don't see results, you're out. And people are paying the buyouts. I mean, there's a lot of coaches that are on the hot seat. You know, we've mentioned Billy Napier, Mike Norvell from Florida State. They've now lost three in a row. He's Florida. Probably.
Well, that's right.
I will say that if he loses this weekend at Stanford, he'll be out of a job for sure. He won't be on the flight back. So if they lose in Palo Alto this weekend, he'll be out of a job. That's a guarantee. But I think they're going to win that game. But yeah, we're going to see, man. There's a lot of coaches. It'd be interesting. I mean, I don't see him getting fired in Texas anytime soon, but Steve Sarkisian got that big win. If that season had tumbled down, would Texas think about moving off him? You know, you're basically putting your hands, like they said, in basically 18 to 22-year-olds, or some cases 24-year-olds now, but you're getting paid big money. And if you're not showing results on a continuous basis, especially when the stakes are high, like teams are moving off you quick, man. These boosters, this NIL, the money that's coming up.
That's a tough, you know, it's just, I'm just really curious though, like what it was like. There has to be something else besides they're just not happy that they lost three straight games in a row, back to back, where they're double digit favorites.
Like, it has to be that, because James Franklin's been at Penn State for what? 10 years, 12 years, 8 years?
Yeah, it's been something like that. I mean, he took over after O'Brien left, and man, he was with the Texans for a while. So,
and I think O'Brien was only there for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because Penn State, like we mentioned, was, you know, a mess. Then they had the scandal, right? The Joe Paul and that whole scandal. And then Bill O'Brien took over and, you know, kind of righted the ship a little bit. They're winning 7-8 games. And then James Franklin came from Vanderbilt, which Vanderbilt hadn't been good since he left there. He won there at Vanderbilt, which nobody had won until the current coach there has. So we'll see. I mean, I think James Franklin is going to get another job. There'll be questions of where he goes. But, I mean, Penn State, you know, is it that great of a job? Or is the expectations there so high? We'll see.
I was trying to look. He's been at Penn State. So he's been there since 2014.
Yeah,
2014.
Yeah, so he has the second highest buyout after Jimbo Fisher, $76 million. $49 million, that's a lot.
Well, I think
that's not true. He's not even in the top 10.
No, but for it to actually happen.
Oh, it actually happened, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a $50 million buyout?
Yeah, there's about, like, I think a dozen coaches that are like $50 million or more from a buyout perspective.
And he had like a terrible ranking against top 10 teams.
Yeah, that was his thing. I think
that was even Achilles just from heel.
Yeah, because I mean, like, I think the college football playoff last year for his two wins to start it were his biggest ones at that point.
So he was 4-21 against top 10. AP top 10, 1-18 against Big Ten top 10 teams. That's a 16% winning percentage. Third worst record by a coach since the Polaro began in 1936. Like, do you think like he lost a lot of the locker room? Do you think it was just, I don't know. Like, what are they going to do for the rest of the season? They just thought it wasn't salvageable?
I mean, at this point, you're playing for the college football playoff or nothing. And so you lose three games, they're done. They're not making the college football playoff. So, you know, they'll make maybe a bowl game here at this point. But, you know, they're going to be moving on to next season. And where it becomes the cycle of coaching becomes not conducive to the current season is they need to get the coach soon. Because you're going to be talking about the recruiting class of next year.
Opens, I mean, there was our...
Well, there was already a recruit, I think, that said, like, basically, like, that day they lost or something, where he's like, Penn State's no longer, I'm no longer committed. I'll be opening up for some visits and stuff like that. So it impacts incoming recruits, A, for what they're losing. But then, hey, you got to get the new guy in. And now it's about maintaining what you have, because it's not only recruiting the new people coming in. You know, part of the rumors Nick Saban left was because you're recruiting the guys that you have in your program to stay and not take a larger offer somewhere else to potentially start or things like that. So I think the infrastructure and what a new coach needs to come in and bring, you know, they need to start the search. And I think that's where they're at, is like, hey, this guy was tepid. He's done this. We need to move on. Now we have October and maybe a little bit of November, and then they need to name a coach by, you know, beginning, middle of November, for that recruiting class starting in December, and what's going to be the path forward.
Yeah. I mean, recruiting's big, and now the transfer portal is just one window, right? I think it's late between December and January now, between the playoffs.
They got rid of one of them, but there's still a couple.
The spring window's gone. It's just one. No, they voted on it, and they approved only one. So there's only one transfer window. I believe it's like December 2nd through January 2nd, whatever it is.
That's dumb.
So, and then, you know, National Signing Day, the early one is what, December, mid-December? So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what they end up doing. I mean, they got to get a coach in there. And I've read that a lot of these programs are now moving off of coaches. That way recruits know, like, okay, hey, this guy's gone. We're going to bring in somebody new. And what Jason said, I mean, you're recruiting the players on your staff. And you got to get boosters, right? Boosters produce money. And if they're not happy with the current situation, well, you're not going to be able to buy players to come in. So that's kind of how it works, right? I mean, if they're not spending money, then you're not getting the money to bring the players in. So, Rome, you asked what could be wrong, why they make the move? Well, you know, your donors could basically be saying, hey, you want my money? James Franklin's got to go. And at the end of the day, money talks, and James Franklin's got to walk. And that's just how it goes.
They must have been so devastated after that loss.
Yeah, Aaron's right. One transfer portal between January 2nd to the 16th, which is crazy. I think some of the commentaries about this, like the college football playoffs still going on. And so those guys are like actively putting, I think even your guy, Matt Rule in Nebraska, basically gave a quote of, we're going to have to be playing players getting paid by two different teams in the same year because the different windows that they're like paying players from a revenue standpoint. So, yeah, there's some goofiness that'll be going with it. But if it gets it down to one, yeah, they got to have things in place because that whoever that new coaching staff, they got to be able to be hitting the portal start of the year.
Well, yeah, I mean, this portal benefits teams that don't make the playoff, I guess, because you can kind of recruit these guys versus if you're already in the playoff, it's kind of hard. I mean, you got obviously these guys got scouting guys and probably telling you like, hey, dude, this guy wants to come here. This is the price for him. But Penn State's not going to the college football playoff. I mean, they got three losses in conference, so they're done. They're not getting to the Big Ten championship game, so they don't have to worry about the playoff. That's done deal. They're out. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of, remember they had the spring transfer portal window open. Remember, you know, Deion was like, hey, we're not going to do a spring game because I don't want coaches being able to see tape on which guys are good and sneakily calling their family or DMing them saying, hey, enter the transfer portal. We got more money than these guys. So that's kind of why they got rid of all these transfer portal windows. You get the recruiting early signing period in December, the transfer window in early January, and then you're done. So you've got to set your roster, your limit, your money. So that's why a lot of these coaches are going to get fired in season college football. I think it's going to be a new trend where you don't have to wait till after Thanksgiving weekend to get rid of guys.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm good on Franklin talk. Let's transition back to the games. Biggest win.
Indiana.
It was nice, dude. They dominated.
Yeah, it was a big win. Last year, it was kind of questioned, were they actually a good team or not? Because they didn't really beat anyone. It was the MO. They got into the playoff and went out early versus Notre Dame. And so that was the entire question this year. Would they be any good? And this is kind of the signature win for Cignetti and that whole team. And now with Penn State falling out, they beat Oregon. You know, now you got, hey, it's them versus Ohio State to a degree for who's going to be, you know, top dogs here. And they got a favorable schedule down the stretch. You know, they're going to get Michigan State, you know, UCLA, even though, you know, Rome's UCLA Bruins, they may have found something here. But, you know, there's a favorable schedule for Indiana down the road for them to go undefeated and get into the Big Ten championship game probably versus Ohio State, and that being the ultimate showdown, you know, for who gets the first round bye in the college football playoff. But, yeah, Aaron's right. That was the biggest win of the weekend because I think it was a statement game. Oregon had looked good all year. That Penn State win looked a lot better 10 days ago maybe or something like that. But you know, now not so much. But, yeah, I think Aaron's definitely right in the Indiana call.
Yeah, it's a huge one for Indiana, right? I mean, we mentioned last year, cupcake schedule, played two games, got blown out at Ohio State, got blown out in the playoff by Notre Dame, hadn't been blowing people out as bad as they did last year. Just played what Iowa 2 weeks ago was an ugly 20-15 win. You know, Iowa kind of has games like that. We weren't sure if they could go into Oregon. I mean, Oregon at home in Eugene had been blowing people out. Had the win over Penn State, which, you know, like Jason said, doesn't look as great as it does today than as it does today. But yeah, so huge win for Indiana. I mean, that's the biggest win definitely for the weekend. But I mean, if you're Oregon, you know, is it a bad thing if maybe you get eliminated from the Big Ten championship game? I don't think it's a bad thing because you still get in the playoff. You get to host a home game. You saw what happened to Oregon last year as the number one seed. They got stuck with Ohio State after the bye. So I don't think it's the end of the world. If you're Oregon, you get to host a home game, kind of keep that momentum going, and you're not off for like 28, 30 days versus and you get to play it after 3 weeks.
Indiana,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think I drove you guys nuts last year talking about that is like the best thing is to not be in the conference championship game because, hey, you don't have to risk the loss and where your seeding is going to be. So, you know, if Oregon, who has a, you know, fairly favorable schedule down the stretch, they got, you know, they got to travel all the way to Rutgers, which, you know, just from a distance standpoint, you know, is not the most ideal thing, but their biggest games will be against USC and, you know, I guess Washington potentially at the end of the season. So they got a path to be 11-1, don't make the Big Ten championship game. And then, hey, they're sitting at what, the fifth or sixth or seventh seed or something like that and host the game like there. And like, there's a little strategy behind it. And I think we'll be definitely talking about that as we get towards what those conference title games will be like. I'm guessing at a certain point, once we expand this playoff, likely we'll be getting rid of these conference championship games. I've long hated them because they're overall, you know, useless. But yeah, I think from a strategy standpoint, it's not the worst loss for Oregon right now as they head down the stretch with a favorable schedule.
I like to submit a few other games that were like pretty big victories. I think the Alabama went over Missouri, just making out alive. That's huge, 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 huge. Missouri's still a really good team, but man, Alabama's got to be really fortunate. Also, did not see it coming. Texas beating out Oklahoma. Me and Aaron, we didn't think Mateer was actually going to come back. He just had surgery 2 weeks ago. Like, I thought they brought him back a little too soon.
He probably had a couple interceptions. He probably shouldn't have been playing, Rome. He did not look good.
He did not look good. He did not look like the guy that could have been leading the Heisman voting before he went out. I'm not sure if that was a really good play on that, but Texas looked phenomenal. And just like, dude, like what version of, I'm not going to talk about Texas. I'm done with that one.
Well, I want to go back to Alabama because I dismissed him at the start to talk about James Franklin, and now we kind of move past him there too. But I think overall, when you're looking at what they've done last three games, really, because you lose at Florida State to start the year, they're calling for Kellen DeBoer's job down in Alabama, and this team's, you know, theirs.
We were pretty rough on him too.
I don't think we were that rough. I don't think we're anything near what Alabama fans, you know, compared to the expectation. But, you know, they got the unicorn of unicorns with Nick Saban and the way that program was operating for, you know, over a decade. And it isn't like that anymore. You can't be as dominant as you were. You're in the NIL era. You can't pay backups to backups to backups. I mean, look at the, like, NFL stars that they had backing up other NFL stars there. You don't have that. But if you look at the last three games, they beat a Georgia team, you know, one of the top in the nation. Vanderbilt was, you know, sneaky, and they got the revenge win. Aaron was hyping up this Missouri team, which is very good too. They're going to have Tennessee coming up next year. Like, this could have gone off the rails for DeBoer, just like Franklin, frankly, at that point. If he would have lost like two or three of these games or something like that, there would have been even more. So they bounced back from that Florida State loss. They put a string together in the SEC, which is impressive. These turn into the stretches where you talk about strength of conference. It's not over for them because they got Tennessee, like I said, at South Carolina is not an easy game. Then versus LSU, and maybe Oklahoma's a little easier than we thought going in this week. But I think you give props to them as a big win too, because if they go through unscathed and only have one loss, maybe two, I think Alabama's probably automatically into this playoff as well too. So I think that'll maybe take the pressure off of Kalen DeBoer, you know, for what the you know, Bama fans. What was that one lady? She won the lotto. Her first thing was going to be payout Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, big, big win for Alabama. I mean, yeah, they can lose at least one more game and still make the playoff. But, yeah, I mean, they go into Missouri. I think Missouri had won 15 straight home games. Missouri's coming off a bye, was unbeaten. We said this was going to be a test. It was a battle. Romy mentioned that quarterback with a bad pick late. They could have gotten in the field goal range there. They had time to tie that game up. So give Bama credit. I mean, they won at Georgia. Got revenge on Vanderbilt, going to Missouri and win. That's why I think they got what their number six ranked now again, Bama, in the new poll, I think I saw. Yeah, number six. So, six, I mean, yeah, Bama's looking good. I mean, the SEC is loaded. I mean, I don't know what Ole Miss was doing. I mean, they were still on a bye against that Washington State team. I mean, that got real tricky. They almost slipped up in that game. You know, Lane Kiffin always kind of slips up in games where we don't
see
it coming. They look
slow after bye weeks, dude. They're the only team that looks that bad.
Washington State's a game they should have won by 30-something points because they were favored by 32. I mean, that game took them down on the wire, and Washington State's a bad team. But I still like Ole Miss. But we'll see what ends up happening there. Texas A&M, nice win against Florida, holding them off. That was a tougher game than people think came in that matchup.
Good win.
LSU, Brian Kelly continues to win. I think he's, 23-2 in home games at LSU. Tennessee got a win over Arkansas. So, I mean, the SEC, I don't know who the best team is in the conference. Georgia, too, got a win over Auburn and, you know, controversy fashion down there. But the SEC, I don't know who the best team is in that conference, but it's got about four or five teams that can make the playoff and beat anybody any week, really, in that conference.
Yeah, it'll be interesting as things shake out because a couple of these, you know, schedule you looked at, like you mentioned Ole Miss, and where's the Lane Kiffin slip-up going to be? They only got two ranked teams coming up with Georgia, Oklahoma. Let's say they lose the Georgia game, win Oklahoma. They split those. You know, they get South Carolina. They're playing the Citadel. Florida and then at Mississippi State, you know, a bunch of unranked teams for Ole Miss coming up. Hey, they're 11-1. Probably good there. Bama, Aaron said, they may be losing one game on their stretch. They're 10-2. Probably in. Texas A&M, you know, they're 6-0, 3-0 in the SEC right now. They got LSU, Missouri, and Texas kind of down the road. So where does that look? I mean, they got some games, but hey, they lose one, you know, you'll have a decision to make of how many SEC teams are potentially in and what's the strength of schedule because they could get pretty tight. They're going to knock each other off, but you know, Ole Miss could be 11-1, and then you got a bunch of two lost teams. It'll be, you know, the SEC is going to want like six teams in this thing.
I think we'll see three-team lost team.
Well, I mean, look, the Big Ten's getting, what, three teams, right? I mean, Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon.
Yep.
The ACC is getting one in Miami. Unless somebody knocks them off. The Big 12, probably just getting Texas Tech or whoever wins the conference championship. I don't see another team at large sneaking in from the Big 12. So that's five teams right there. Then you get the group of four. So that's six. So does that leave six teams from the SEC? I think the SEC is going to get five this year. If they have five teams that have two losses or less, I think they'll get five in.
I think the question against these conference title games, you remember Clemson winning the conference championship game last year, really, I think, probably knocked out Bama. Was probably
yeah,
one
knocked out Bama, yeah.
Because of and them Ole Miss, getting right in. It was one or the other.
I think it was Bama, then Ole Miss right behind them.
Yeah, but them getting in threw everything off because then two SEC teams got or ACC teams got in where it was probably only going to be SMU if they would have won. And then Miami obviously messed up their chances. So I think there's a lot to be said in those last couple of weeks of like if anything happens in one of those games and you get those automatic bids or conference championships, I think that'll be probably some determining factor, whether it's five or six or whatever for the SEC. But Aaron, I want to ask you one thing, though. Florida State, man. 0-3 in the ACC.
What's up, man? What's up with your team?
Yeah, I mean,
they're falling on some hard times, and now they're not.
Yeah, I mean, Rome, you know, we mentioned they lost to Virginia, a game that, you know, I was worried about. Miami's been the best team. I mean, Pittsburgh's a team they should have beaten. Freshman quarterback goes in there and beat them, but, you know, down four of their top five wideouts and their top tight end. Got real conservative in the second half offensively and just tried to run the ball the whole game. Didn't really open it up, maybe because, you know, the wide receivers they had playing, they just didn't have any confidence in. I mean, some of those guys only had like two catches on the year.
Even but, yeah, on the final drive, dude, they just look lost. Norville's just on the sidelines. I'm like, dude, what are you guys doing? They're just like laying the clock just tick away. Precious time. The play calling was shit. It was so weird.
Yeah, the play calling wasn't good. The defense was terrible. I mean, I saw the defensive coordinator came out today basically on his conference. I haven't watched it, but I kind of read a little transcript and basically just said, hey, look, you know, I didn't let them be free. I didn't let them attack, pit it on me. You know, I'm saying it right now. If they lose at Stanford Saturday, Norvell will be guaranteed fired. He won't be on the plane flight back. Yeah, they'll leave him with Newsome in that California and just leave him there because that's where he's going to stay.
You basically answered my question. Like, what's the loss is going to be? He's got a $64 million buyout currently right now, according to the sources online. So they're ready to buy him out. This was a guy that was supposed to get the Alabama job potentially. Yeah. 2 years later, they're going to fire him.
I don't think he's in the hot seat yet.
He's very much on the hot seat.
Yeah.
Norvell is very much on the hot seat. Like I said, if he loses to Stanford, yes, he's gone. I mean, they basically got Stanford and Wake Forest. They should win before they go at Clemson. I mean, at Clemson's going to be a tough game. Clemson seems to right the ship now. They're playing pretty well. Then they got Virginia Tech, NC State, Florida. I think he's got to get Norvell to at least 7 wins to save his job. 6 probably puts him in a question mark. But if they lose, Stanford's a terrible football team. I mean, Stanford sucks. So if he loses that game, that's a late night game. Maybe, Rome, you could show up that game in Palo Alto. But I'm looking at it right now. They're like a 17.5 point favorite. So if he loses that game, he's out. Yeah. And a lot of people, fan base does want Norvell out. But I think the buyout's a lot of money. And coming off a 2-10 season last year, I mean, the goal was, hey, you got to get at least bowl eligible this year, I think, to save his job.
So bowl eligible, you're saying
they should be bowl. They should be bowl.
Well, so you get, what, 6 wins to be bowl eligible?
Yes.
That's not enough, though, man.
So Stanford, Wake Forest, next 2 should be wins. Virginia Tech, North Carolina State.
They should beat Virginia Tech and NC State. That's 7. At Florida is going to be tough. At Clemson is going to be tough. Excellent. But guarantee he loses to Stanford, he's done. That will definitely put the nail in his coffin.
Interesting. I don't think it was that hot. I guess I'm wrong. You got the
inside sources. Let me put it this way. Let me just put it this way to you, Rome. They lose to Stanford, you might want to go interview him, get him on the show, because that's the only podcast he's going to jump on is this one after that, if they lose that game.
Oh, that'd be awesome, actually.
I don't know why you're surprised, Rome. They won how many games last year, Aaron? 2?
2 games. Well, yeah, and only one against an FBS opponent, California.
So compare him versus James Franklin. Franklin was in the semifinals of the college football playoff last year.
That's why he lost 3 games. Fired him. Yeah, like just,
and so Norvell, man, he was 2 wins last year and he's at the same 3-3 record right now.
Well, think of it, you know, they were robbed out of a chance to compete for a national title.
And I think they had
that season of hell last year. Yeah. To follow up, even though they had a lot of guys, you know, returning. No one was having expectations for this year, but they came out hot out of the gates. We're like, all right, cool. Even we were like, dude, Florida State looks like a top 5 team here.
And well, they got to number eight.
Aaron's right. Like, hold on. Hold on here. Maybe a top 10 team. Let's see what happens. And then ever since you said that, 3 straight losses. Like, it's wild. It's
well,
wild.
I told you, Rome, I think if you look at Florida State's top units, they can play with anybody in the top 25. But like I mentioned, they were out 4 of their top 5 wideouts, tight ends for the game against Pitt. And it showed. They lost Deuce Robinson, who basically averages almost like 150, 200 yards a game receiving. They lost him in the second quarter. They're about their main tight end, Pittman, who's their number 2 target. So they just ran the ball. It became very predictable, just ran the ball the whole time. But going back to Norvell, I mean, he was on the hot seat. Then he went 10-3, 13-0. They won 19 straight games, got robbed, as you mentioned, of the playoff, had a disastrous season last year, and then basically people were kind of like down on him, and then he beats Alabama, which,
crazy,
you know,
man. You
look
no,
how
no,
good
no
Alabama
chance.
Looks right now. So if Norvell somehow does get 7-8 wins,
I think, you know, 7's good.
I think 7 probably saves his job. I mean, this recruiting class looks pretty good. They've done pretty well in NIL. But he's got to win. He's definitely got to win to save his job.
All I gotta win. I forgot how that song goes.
All I do is win.
There you go. All I do is win.
But now I gotta win.
That's Cignetti.
Yeah, Cignetti is all he does is win. I think was he at the quote "Google me" or something like that.
Yeah,
all I do is win
so
or something like that.
Hey, Penn State, he's the target there.
All I do is win. I don't want to see him go to Penn State.
He's a target for Penn State?
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. I don't think that's a good fit.
Really?
Hey, all the guy does is win. I think it's a great fit if you're Penn State. If I'm Penn State, I just put a big old billboard with Google me and fucking Kurt Cignetti's head right there. That would be my sales pitch to him, and then a big old suitcase full of cash.
I don't know why, like the Penn State, and this has nothing to do with anything. It's just the Penn State logo, the look, like the color scheme, like the name Penn State. It just looks like
it's very old school.
Someone's like creepy but distinguished old uncle, you know. But like you're like, dude, this guy looks like he touches kids on the side, and like that's what it feels like.
Rome, that story is true.
And you know, and like it just grosses me out, you know. I just like there's something wrong with the picture. Like, yeah, I know he's a senator, but there's something going on behind the scenes. Like the Penn State, the whole just saying the name makes me sick. Or it's the Taco Bell that I just destroyed right now. But whoa, they messed up on my order. Not happy about it.
I'm pretty sure that's what's making you sick, though. Is the Taco Bell?
I always stick to two hard tacos. Two bean burritos, never been sick in my life, and these people put in a supreme burrito in there with like some weird meat mystery meat with like a hot Cheeto, like that's not gonna be good. And nacho cheese, I don't even know what burrito that is.
But you ate it wrong.
I destroyed it, man. And I asked for fire sauce. They just only gave me mild and hot. You only have one job, guys. You know. All right. Any final thoughts on college football? You guys like the new top 25? Agree with it? Any complaints?
I don't think there's any complaints. It's kind of it's shaken out a little bit where you just got all undefeated or no loss teams across the board, minus Notre Dame 4-2 and Texas 4-2.
I'm surprised Texas is back in it.
I mean, when you look at, I mean, the Florida loss is bad, but they lost to the number one team in the country, in Ohio State, and Florida's seen something a little better. So I don't know if it's the worst of losses, but I mean, the offense, I don't want to say they showed up, but it was a little more off life support than what had been said with the Texas offense here the last couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, Texas, I mean, look, they lost at Ohio State and Florida. Granted, those are probably two of the top 10 toughest places to play in the nation. So they're not bad losses. Now, I mean, Florida's talented as any team in the country. And then Ohio State right now is the best team in the country. I mean, defensively, what they're doing, I think they're giving up like...
They're way better than last year.
They were giving up like 5 points a game, something. That's what their opponents were scoring off them. Can't even score in the red zone. I think they're goal to goal. You know, they get 95% of the stops inside the red zone. Teams don't get touchdowns. So, I mean, Texas, you know, we'll see if they can win out, what happens with them. But, yeah, I mean, Arch Manning, that was his best game, I think, of the year against a good Oklahoma defense. He showed something there.
He had a good – I only saw highlights. I told you guys I'm not watching another Texas game for the rest of the year. I'm still pretty pissed about the Florida game. But,
I mean
– from what I saw or from what I heard, he was sharp, but he only had, like, what, 100 yards passing. It wasn't, like, anything. It wasn't, like – an air attack
by any
means.
100 yards passing. But I was looking at another team that made the top 25. And I mentioned the three teams in the Big Ten, but Nebraska. Yeah. Nebraska's a team. That. They've got a really nice schedule here.
Well, I'm looking at it right now, too. That's funny that you're talking about it.
So, I mean, they got that USC, UCLA, Penn State, Iowa at the end. I mean, if Nebraska can run the table, I believe they can get into the playoff. I mean, they're a brand enough team that people probably want to see them back in the playoff, but they got to win out. If I think Nebraska wins out, I would get them a nod into the playoff, but they got to win the rest of their games. I don't think they can have a slip up.
Yeah, if they win out. I don't even know what to think about UCLA right now. Northwestern, they have a good record right now. You said they're crap, but, you know.
Northwestern's not, they're not any good.
Is Minnesota a trap game?
Where's it at Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Friday a trap night. Game. That's the worst case again.
At least USC visits, and like now you're talking about like two offenses that like to score a lot, so that'd be pretty fun to see. That should be a fun shootout. UCLA, if they keep on playing the offense the way they are playing now, who knows? That might be another one. Oh, that dude, I have to go to that game now. I have to go to that fucking game. It's Rose Bowl, November 8th.
Easy tickets. I mean, UCLA's...
Let's make it a pod night, guys.
New offensive
Nebraska,
new
UCLA.
I mean,
the whole pod there.
I think they just give out media passes for UCLA games still.
I'll hit them up. I'm definitely going to hit him up.
I think they just give out tickets to UCLA.
You guys are still talking shit.
Basically, yes, but here's the thing.
Motherfuckers, they man. Give you, talking they give, shit hey, still on my UCLA look, team. Give a break.
Hey, you get free tickets, but you do got to buy it. You got to buy a beer and a hot dog. That's part of the game plan that goes for donations. Well.
Yeah, I was going to say, do they even sell beer there?
It's a dry fucking stadium. I forgot. No,
that's why they can't get anybody in.
That's why we're always... Okay, so I just remembered why we went to UCLA games, because we got blitz out and tailgating. The last time I went to a UCLA game, oh my god, I remember.
I think they sell alcohol now at the Rose Bowl. I think they started doing that.
It
about
might have
a
been
year
against USC.
Back.
Me and my cousins were there. We met some nice girls there. We took them back to I think LA somewhere. Had a great time. Somehow made it back to the San Gabriel Valley. That's when I started dating the baby mama. All right, never mind.
Is that where you found her? Down there in the parking lot at the Rose Bowl? You thought she was a rose, but she really turned out to be a bowl?
Oh, that's the baby mama? No, no. I might have... Yeah, never mind. I used to be a player, but now I'm a player.
Yeah, they sell alcohol now at the Rose Bowl. I just looked it up.
Thank God.
I knew they had to. It's the revenue stream they can't afford not
to
have.
Bullshit.
Now.
Like, I was so pissed off that they didn't sell any beer. I think we killed like 236 packs, like a bottle of like Don Julio or something. I can't do that anymore. Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
we should,
it looks like
we should really look into it. Nebraska, UCLA, November 8th. That's perfect. All right. I guess that's it then. Huh?
Until Thursday or Wednesday or whatever day we're doing college. Maybe Rome this week, you'll have your picks in on time, prepared, researched, so we can go undefeated in the circle pool.
I've been doing pretty good this year, but yeah, dude, I'm editing. I got lots of things going on.
It's fine. We're doing very good. Aaron, what are we, 34th overall right now?
36, right? 36.
36. So we're doing fine.
The last two, Jason does.
Okay,
so that's okay. We're doing good. We're getting a little bit run. You know, figure out our swagger to get into the top 10. I think what are we, two games out of the top 10.
How many people have entered this again?
Huh?
How many people have entered this again?
1,080.
That's so awesome. That's pretty good.
You know, Jason made a note. Had Rome selected right, we would have been in the top 25. That is correct. Based off the standings, we would have been like in 19th place. Yeah. I know Rome dismissed it, but no, I mean, the last 2 weeks were 11-2-1. So we jumped from, as a group, like 300th place to 36. So
yeah.
We've been hot here the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the pick you guys hated, that did well. The pick you guys didn't care about, that did well. Who actually saw ASU getting their ass kicked like that? I thought
about, I said about their quarterback. I didn't like their action right off the bat.
Aaron said it right away, man. Although you guys were going back and forth over who said what and whatever other game. So
I was busy editing, man.
Yeah, right. So Rome, yeah, you got two picks. Jason's got three, and I got two this week. So
I kind of have an idea of who I'm going to go for already.
Any hints on that one?
Well, I've been testing out this website. They kind of play with like spreads.
All right. Like a little AI website where they simulate games. Yeah, is that the same website that told you Michigan was going to beat USC? Just curious on that one.
So
I mean, a lot of people were backing Michigan.
No, it was pretty split on who's going to win that game, but it should not have been by that amount. And I didn't watch it, so I don't know what happened. Like, I can't break down the play on that one. I wish I did. Like, I'm really curious, like, what happened to the Lions as well against KC. Got to watch it.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the college football lines yet this week, Rome, but I'll look at them tomorrow. That's when I start, like, kind of breaking down games.
Yeah.
I do see Nebraska's at Minnesota Friday, but
that's a stay.
Couple SEC games are talking to me right now.
Yeah? You. Are you looking at it right now?
Look at these early lines right now.
I'm gonna have to pull up the lines right now, then you guys are getting me intrigued. Yeah.
He's getting a little chub here.
Yeah, I am.
I hear SEC and I get a little
stiffy here, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
The ACC makes me go limp, but the SEC gets me a little excited.
I'm really curious what the line is for Georgia Tech and Duke. I've been liking Georgia Tech, and they're so far undefeated. Up to number 12 now.
ESPN bet right now says Duke minus 2.5.
Duke minus 3 I've got, but yeah, 2.5 minus 3, yes. Duke is at home.
Yeah. You know what? I feel bad for South Carolina because they just might be like barely hitting six wins this year.
Well, they got
they're just
going to
be a tough out. They're going to be a tough out every week, but it's just going to be like a that down year. The, like, it's just
they got experience Oklahoma. Points. They got Oklahoma this week. I'm seeing 5.5, the number there.
You know what? Georgia is
due. That's a good game right there. LSU Vanderbilt.
That's the one I was looking at, man. That's what I said. I was like, I like that one. Yep.
What's the spread?
Two and a half for Vanderbilt? I don't know, man. To me, LSU should be favored.
That's disgusting. Well, they should be.
I got that one, Aaron. I'll take Texas A&M right now. That's the other one I'm looking at, too.
I'm looking at that one right now.
I believe that's a neutral site game at Jerry's World in Dallas there. So that might even be better. It's not even at
Razorback
Arkansas.
Stadium.
It says Razorback Stadium.
Is that Razorback Stadium? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Traditionally, they used to play at Dallas, but okay.
Even that, 7.5.
You like A&M, huh?
I do like A&M, man. Mm. Arkansas, I don't know. I think the interim coach boost is only going to be so much here.
I mean, the SEC's got some matchups this week. You got Ole Miss at Georgia. 6.5 is the number there.
Who's getting it?
Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia's favored by 6.5.
Isn't Georgia due? Like, they've
due for what? A loss?
They've been barely making it out. A few of these games.
This seems like a high spread to me. I like it off initial thought, but I like USC +8 against Notre Dame. That's a lot of points for Notre Dame to cover against a high scoring USC team.
Didn't love Notre Dame in the first half last week. They were just, they were playing with NC State a little and they came on big in the second half. But I don't disagree that out of Notre Dame's remaining games, this is the one that scares me because they lose, they're out. They gotta win.
I think Notre Dame wins. I don't know if they cover 8. We'll see. I mean, USC's only lost one game by 1 point this year. So
that's about South Florida, Florida Atlantic. What's that?
Is that a Friday game?
22.5 for South Florida.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
22.5. At least we kind of did some research right now.
The SEC's got a lot of games this weekend. A lot of big matchups. UCLA favorite at home against Maryland.
Wow.
What a turnaround for UCLA, man. What a turnaround.
There was a great tweet about, I think, just overall them having new Heisel on the staff for the last 6 years.
Yeah, what? It started out like a GA.
Bomani Jones, his tweet was, the rare case where a program was too slow to lean on nepotism. And I think it's 100% accurate, man.
That's really
good. Didn't know you got a genius offensive coordinator just sitting there in the background, bro.
You know what's crazy? No one even knows who the interim coach is for UCLA. Everyone thinks it's Jim Heisel. He's getting all the press. This little Game of Thrones. What do you call him? The Baratheon?
Joffrey Baratheon, man.
He's 100% looks like he's... Yeah. All right. That's fun.
I mean, I guess the question is... Is he playing himself in to be the full-time head coach?
I think they got good vibes on what's his name? Stark, their interim head coach. He has like cool black guy vibes, almost like Marone, but like cooler, like actually like level-headed and like not overly emotional. Like his post-game conference is pretty chill. He plays like 90 hip-hops with like inspirational lyrics. Seems like he has like a good vibe. I'm just curious, like what the hell was Deshaun Foster doing?
Don't know. Biggest question.
Did Adidas buy him out too, or what?
Maybe.
Was it a million and a half, if that?
Five million?
I think that's always the biggest question for UCLA. Do they have the resources to actually compete in this thing? Because they don't go out and get the big coaches from a money perspective, public institution. Well, really anything, because the pro UCLA athletics, you know, we talked about like the debt they're in overall, and they like to compete in all the Olympic sports and everything, where's that and where their money's at, and then not spending money in the coaches and how that translates to the portal and stuff. That's a challenge when you're going against these Big Ten schools that are spending $50 million just to buy out a coach. He's not winning enough.
Yeah, I think it's got to change. I mean, like, who knows where college football is going to look like in the next 5-10 years? I mean, we've talked about it briefly, but is college football going to go to like a super league, right? Where just, the top 40 or 50 teams get in the league and that's it.
Well, you guys hear about the new Big Ten deal, right?
Yeah, the $2 billion they got coming in.
Yeah, it's through the California educator pension fund. It kind of limits, so they kind of own the rights, and you can't leave to create a super league. Like, you might see a few more of those happen.
Well, I think it's like a 10-year agreement, right? But yeah,
it'll happen at some point. It's just going to be how long until it does. And you're already kind of there because they own the four major conferences, get 11 out of the 12 bids basically for the college football playoff, and they just kind of bring the other five conferences along into the fun a little bit. But you're already there, and then the Big Ten and SEC hold all the power in the room. The ACC and Big 12 are, you know, secondary of the big guys to a degree.
Well, yeah, I mean, plus, let's just be honest, the ACC, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, they're all leaving by 2030 anyways.
Yep.
I mean, the buyout goes from whatever it is down to like $75 million. So they're all going to leave in the next 5 years and out of the conference. So the ACC's the next big probably conference domino to fall. And then it's kind of, where does Florida State, Clemson go? Do they go to the SEC? Does the Big Ten want a team in Florida and get Miami and Florida State? That's kind of the next big domino here in the next 5 years.
Tits. I'll do it for Source on the Sofa, NFL recap, college football in the books. Catch College Games of the Week on Wednesday. Lions again with the boys on Thursday. And we'll try to forget whatever happened this past week.
We got to get a new supply for those Lions, Rome, because that supply we were on was not any good this week.
Thanks so much, guys. I'll do it for Source of the Sofa. Catch clips on YouTube. Some funny new clips out there. I've been pumping them out the last few weeks. Hopefully you guys are digging it. Ratings are climbing up as well. Full episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, college football, and NFL separately on YouTube as well, and other select takes from the show. So be on the lookout. We are out.